Thanks for checking out our weekly podcast. Our mission at Grace is to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. We hope that you'll be blessed and encouraged by this week's message. For more information about Grace, you can follow us on Facebook or check out our website at experiencegrace.church. We're in Philippians chapter 1. We've been taking our time walking through chapter number 1. And I'm thankful for all the things that we can praise the name of God for. Of course, we can praise his name for the cross and everything that he did there. And there's a lot of things that God has given us that produce joy. And one of the things that God has given to us that I believe produces joy is what we've been talking about in this series that we're calling Joyride. And the subtitle for this is we're finding joy in places that it shouldn't be found. One of the things that I'm thankful that we can praise God for is that God has given us the opportunity to be able to have joy in places where we really shouldn't have it. And it's because of his faithfulness. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul is the one that wrote the book of Philippians. It was written to the church that was at Philippi. And the thing that's interesting about this church was when Paul went to that church, there is more record of the suffering of Paul at that city in Philippi than anywhere else. And it's recorded for us in the book of Acts. And there's more information about how much he suffered at Philippi than anywhere else. And as he's writing this letter to the church, where is he writing it from? From jail. He's behind bars. He's got his cup and he's slamming it, you know, trying to get some good eating, that kind of thing, you know. And I'm not sure if they had three hots and a cot back in those days or not. But either way, he's in prison. He's writing this letter to the church in the place where he suffered more than anywhere else. So what do you think the theme of the book is going to be? Not what it is. The theme is what? Joy. And that's very interesting because Paul was able to find joy in a place where he should not have been able to find it. You know, every one of us have found ourselves in positions like Paul's. Maybe you haven't been in jail or physically beaten for your faith, but we have been through times that could be described as difficult. The truth is that when we find ourselves in those difficult points, we don't always find ourselves responding to them like Paul did. Rather than finding joy, oftentimes we find questions. Questions about God. Questions about his sovereignty. When our health suffers, when a child is being bullied or mistreated, when a friend betrays, when there's a horrible accident. As children, we're taught, you know, life isn't fair. But it's during times like these we wonder, why isn't it? Why couldn't it be fair? And the truth is that's the position that I believe the church at Philippi was in, because we've already seen over these first few verses that Paul had an intense love for the people at Philippi, and they had that same kind of love for him. And they had seen his suffering firsthand when he was in Philippi, and now they've heard that he is in prison. And so there's some questions in their mind, like, God, do you know what you're doing? Like, Paul is like one of the best, like he at least made the top 10, right, out of guys that are living for God, and he's suffering in Philippi, and now you're letting him be in prison? They were concerned about his welfare, and were possibly even struggling with that age-old question, why do bad things happen to good people? Paul is going to address these concerns in the next few verses that we'll look at today, and we're going to call the message, Perspective Needed for Joy. If we're going to have joy, we need to pick up on the perspective that Paul had of his suffering. We've got to pick up on the attitude that he had and the way that he viewed his suffering, and we're going to see it in the next three verses, because in verse number 12, Paul is going to make a transitional statement. As a matter of fact, the first 11 verses are kind of the introduction, like, hey, this is how things are going, I'm praying for you guys and all of that. But what's the first word in that next verse there? Go and bring it up there, verse number 1. What's the first word? But this is where he's making a transition, and it's almost as though Paul is going to get to the heart of the matter. Like, this is why I'm writing the letter, because there's something that I want to address with you. And he is going to share with them what they're really wanting to know. They're wanting to know, how's Paul doing? Like, he suffered in Philippi, now he's suffering in Rome, and he's not been on Facebook in a long time. Like, how is Paul doing? Like, we want to know. And so that's what Paul's going to do, is he's going to let them know how he's doing. And in the next 11 verses, He's going to let them know what's been taking place since he's been imprisoned at Rome. So in verse number 12, let's read it together. He says, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. The first thing that Paul says in verse number 12 is he says, I would that you should understand, brethren. I'm a part of John and Allison Tharp's life group on Wednesday nights, and he always talks about the church of the ignorant brethren. And there are a lot of ignorant brethren out there. That doesn't mean they're dumb. It just means they haven't been learned, right? They haven't understood something. And Paul here is saying, brethren, I want you to be the understanding brethren, not the ignorant brethren. I want you to understand something. The word understand means to know. It means to perceive or to be aware of something. So he wants them to understand or comprehend why he was suffering. They're like, how is he doing in Rome? Like, how is he doing in prison? Does he have good guards? Are they feeding him well? How are his scars? And like, is he able to see? Have they taken his cane away from him? You know, his blind cane or whatever they call it. He's like, how is Paul doing? And he says, there's something I want you to understand. And I think if we were honest, all of us have a desire to understand things, don't we? It starts at a very young age. Like when we're young, what's the one word question that you get all the time from little kids? Yes, apparently you guys have had children as well, right? Why? And we think we grow out of that. But as a lot of times as men, I know for me personally, I don't grow out of that. I still watch shows like How It's Made. Have you guys ever watched How It's Made on like the Discovery Channel or whatever? Because you know why we watch that stupid stuff? Because we want to know why. How does that thing work? You know, that's why I love documentaries. I want to know why these things happened or how it all went down, you know. And one of the things I would encourage you not to look into is how they make sausage, all right? I've always been told that if you look into how they make sausage, you probably won't eat it anymore. But here's the thing. We can get through life without knowing how sausage is made, but we feel like we can't get through life without knowing why we're suffering. We want to know the purpose of it, like what brought it on, or we want to understand the intent of it, or what is it that I'm supposed to be learning. Paul's desire was that they would understand that God has purpose in trials. All of us ultimately are going to suffer. I mean, we all understand that, right? Whether you're a believer or unbeliever, we're going to go through tough times. The blessing of being a believer is that there is purpose in our pain. God is not necessarily the source of our pain, but he is absolutely the source of our purpose. If you're keeping track in your notes, there's the first couple of blanks. We can argue about the theological implications of whether or not God is the one that made something happen to us, and we're not going to dive into that today, but I will tell you that while God may not necessarily be the source of our pain, he is absolutely every time the source of our purpose. God is a sovereign God. The word sovereign just means that he has supreme power. He has supreme authority. I had heard that word used a lot, and I didn't really fully understand what it meant until one time I was listening to a pastor preach one time, and he was talking about the sovereignty of God and trying to explain it to a guy. And he said he was riding in the car with this guy, and the guy said, so you mean to tell me that God's ultimately in control of everything? And the pastor said, yeah, he's sovereign. He's ultimately in control of everything. He said, so you mean to tell me that as we're driving, I could swerve this car into oncoming traffic and hit someone head on and both of us die, and that's what God's plan would have been? That's what makes God sovereign? The pastor very wisely looked at him and he said, the sovereignty of God is not so much about God's ability to force us to do something or to stop us from doing something. It's more about his ability to bring good out of those choices that we make. Amen. That if I were to do something foolish and I were to do something selfish or I were to go in a direction that I know I shouldn't go, God is so sovereign and God is so in control that he can bring good out of it. Unfortunately, the onset of pain is often followed by the absence of purpose. When pain comes, we feel like, what is the purpose in this? Why am I struggling? And the Philippians probably thought that the purpose of God saving Paul's life had gone by the wayside now. Because now he's in Rome, he can't do anything, and not if they got Paul, they're probably going to come after us, and no doubt their minds started racing. There must have been an uneasiness or a confusion among this body of believers, and it's at that moment that they received this letter that we have in our hands today, known as the book of Philippians. It's that they receive that letter telling them to be aware of the fact that God has a plan for suffering. Maybe you are suffering now, and maybe someone you love is suffering, but maybe you're struggling with a similar uneasiness or confusion or unrest. I want you to know that to find purpose in pain, we've got to have the right perspective. So let's see what Paul said in verse number 12 about perspective. In verse number 12, this is what he said. He said, I would that you understand, brother. Here's what I want you to understand in pain. The things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. If you're keeping track in your notes, number one is this: suffering furthers the gospel. Suffering furthers the gospel. You say, well, why was Paul able to have joy in the middle of a prison? I mean, this is not the first time he had joy in prison. He's in Rome, and he's writing this letter to the church at Philippi, and it's all about joy. But do you remember the last time that he was in prison? It was in Philippi. Remember? He had been beaten, and he's locked up in chains, and at midnight, when he should have been groaning, when he should have been upset, when he should have been playing country music, you know, because that's what you do whenever you feel sorry for yourself, and when he should have been doing that, he was singing praises to God, was he not? And that's when God sent the earthquake, broke him free out of prison. God did some awesome things. Paul was able to have joy in suffering because Paul understood that suffering furthers the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to remember that God works in ways that we don't understand. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. God could have done anything with Paul. He could have made Paul a larger-than-life figure, you know. He could have made Paul the next Roman emperor. He could have put Paul in a lot of different scenarios where he would have been allowed to get the gospel to the world. But God, in his sovereignty, allowed Paul to suffer in a Roman prison. I don't know about you, but that doesn't seem like a very good idea to me. Like if you had a message and you're like, I got this messenger and he, you know, he's getting the job done and I've got this opportunity. I can put him on the TV. I can put him on the radio. You know, I could put him on Facebook and do some really good ads and all those kinds of things. But you know what? I think I'm just going to lock him up in the local detention center. That's probably not the best methodology to accomplish the goals that you have in mind. It doesn't seem to make sense. As a matter of fact, Paul had wanted to go to Rome already. He talked about it in Acts 19 in Romans chapter 1. He talked about, man, I want to go to Rome. I want to go to Rome. And God said no. It almost would have been a better idea in our minds if God would have let him go to Rome like Billy Graham style. Like put, you know, drove a car around with a horn on top of it and then set up a big old tent, you know, and got the satellite news stations there and made sure that everyone heard the message, you know, and brought in, you know, good singers and everything else. But that wasn't the most effective plan from God's perspective. In our minds, God had a different idea. We see it in verse number 12, the second half of that. He said that the things which happened unto me. What were the things that happened to him? He's in prison. He had been beaten. He had been shipwrecked. He had all these terrible things happen to him. But those things that happened unto me had a purpose. It was to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. How in the world is Paul going to further the gospel of Christ from prison? I mean, he didn't have access to much other than letters and a pen and paper, right? To be able to write these letters to people. He wasn't able to do that. But the answer to how the gospel was furthered is seen in the next verse. Look at verse number 13. It says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the, where? Palace. And in all other places. But not only that, look at what he says in chapter 4 and verse number 22. He says, as he's concluding that letter, he says, all the saints, who are the saints? They're the saved people, right? All the saved people salute you, chiefly they that are of whose household? Caesar's. So what we see in this is that God allowed Paul's suffering to lead him to the place where he could reach people that he would have never been able to reach before. I mean, stop and think about this. His suffering allowed him to reach people he would have never been able to reach. Do you think that these people of Caesar's household, these royal guards, these royal people that lived within the palace, do you think they would have attended any of Paul's Roman evangelistic crusades? You know, do you think they would have ran into Walmart and struck up a conversation, you know, with Paul, ran into him there, and, you know, he gave him the gospel right there in Walmart or wherever he shopped during the day? No, he did not have the opportunity to reach those people. They would not have listened to him, but because of his suffering, now they are. I want to encourage you today that the things which have happened unto you have given you the opportunity to further the gospel as well. The things that leave you feeling without purpose, the things that leave you without strength and without hope, those things were not allowed by God to leave you suffering in those emotions and in those feelings. They were allowed by God to help you to further his message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look again at verse number 12. I love this, verse number 12. But I would that ye should understand, and in the scriptures there it says brethren, but I want to encourage you to put your name in there. But I would that you should understand, Jeff, the things that's happened unto you have fallen out rather than the furtherance of the gospel. I want you to understand, Jay, the things that have happened unto you have happened, have fallen out unto the furtherance of the gospel. And you put for the things that happened unto Josh, the things that happened under Dave, the things that happened to each and every one of us, those things have a purpose, and the purpose is for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be furthered. Stop and think about the people that your suffering has allowed you to encounter. I mean, all of us have some pain, right? How many of you guys say, yeah, I've got some pain? And I'm not talking about, you know, pain that you put, you know, some Flexol 454 on or something like that, you know. But like, life's pain. Anybody have life pain, you know? All they that live godly shall suffer persecution, the Bible says. And so we all have pains. Think about the people that your pain has allowed you to encounter. The next question is, how are we accomplishing God's purpose for suffering among those people? You see, suffering expands our sphere of influence. We ought not complain about it. We ought to consecrate it to God and ask him to work through it. This wasn't the first time that God had closed a door on Paul. Paul had wanted to go to Asia, and God said, no, you're not going to Asia. You're going to go to Philippi. And that's where he had suffered there at Philippi. But because he suffered, that's why he is able to write this letter to the church at Philippi, because it was his suffering that led to him being able to reach more people with the gospel. We'll never understand everything about the pain we endure. Would you agree with that? There's a lot of things you can look back over your life and you can say, I know that God has a purpose in things, but I look back at that and I still have no idea what God was trying to do. And we may not ever understand what God was trying to do. But one thing that is absolutely to be understood about our suffering is that it does have a purpose. And the thing that we need to understand about that purpose is for us to further the gospel. What does that look like? It means that we're looking for opportunities to talk about the hope that we have in our suffering. It means that we are looking for opportunities that when God allows us to cross paths with people that we would not have crossed paths with had it not been for that pain, that trial that God allowed into our lives, it brings these new people into our sphere of influence, and we're asking God for wisdom on speaking to them about eternity, speaking to them about Jesus Christ, speaking to them about the hope that God has given you, not only in your pain, but also for salvation. Suffering is not the conclusion of the gospel. Suffering is a catalyst of the gospel. It is something that gets us going. It's something that ought to strike up our minds to be on the lookout and keep our eyes open for people that God has allowed us to cross paths with that need to hear the message that we have received. It's this perspective on pain that brought Paul joy. Paul was able to sing at midnight in the Philippian prison, and he was able to write letters of joy from the Roman prison because he knew the reason I'm here is because more people are going to be reached because I'm here. This verse in Romans 8 is one, I believe, that is intended to talk about the glories of God that will be revealed in us in the end times when we're able to have a fuller understanding in heaven and that kind of thing. But think about it from this perspective, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see, the glory that can be revealed in us is not just in heaven, but the glory that's inside of you can be revealed to others while on this earth. There's purpose in pain, and one of the purposes is to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's another perspective that Paul gave of his pain, and it's in verse number 14. It says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. The second truth that Paul learned was that suffering strengthens other believers. Suffering strengthens other believers. Verse 14 tells us that Paul's pain made other people more confident. It made other people more bold to share their faith. People were watching Paul. Because they were watching him in his pain, it gave them confidence. And I want you to know, people are watching you too. One of the things that we watch, at least when I was younger, is I enjoyed watching Winnie the Pooh. I'll admit it to you. And if that means that you have to take my man card away from me, that's okay. But how many of you guys remember Winnie the Pooh? Everybody remember that? There were a couple of characters. Of course, Winnie the Pooh was one of them. Piglet was one of them. You guys remember Piglet? How many of you guys, Piglet was your favorite one? Anybody, Piglet was your favorite? How about Eeyore? Anybody, Eeyore fans? And of course, my personal favorite, Tigger. How many of you guys enjoyed Tigger, right? Eeyore, every time you'd see Eeyore, he was just a bundle of sunshine, wasn't he? It was the opposite. It wasn't sunshine over his head. What was it over his head every time? It was a cloud and rain. Just, and what was his phrase that he used all the time? Oh, man, you guys got this. Oh, bother. There's the other one, Tigger, which his phrase was a little bit different. Every time he'd introduce himself, he'd say, my name's Tigger. T-I-double. Hey, yeah, some of you got that. T-I-double G-er, right? And then, of course, the other one, when he was leaving, it was T-T-F-N. Ta-ta for now, right? And he's like bouncing on that tail that he had. How many guys wish you had a tail you could just bounce around on, you know, that kind of thing? And he's just like, you watch Tigger and woo, man, you just get psyched, you know, like ready to take on the world. And you know what the truth is? The truth is that whenever we find ourselves in times of suffering, times of pain, most of us fall into one of those two categories. We're either an Eeyore or we're a Tigger. And a lot of times we think that in our pain, well, no one really cares about me. Sometimes we feel like God doesn't even care about me. But Paul understood, people are watching me. And people are watching us. And if we're that person that when we're going through pain, we're walking around, how you doing, brother? Oh, bother. Oh, let me tell you, it's been quite a week. And now listen, I understand that there are times where it needs to be often that we are sharing our burdens, but we share those burdens not looking for pity, but we're looking for empowerment. We want to be able to not just wallow in our pain, but we want to find purpose in our pain. And many of us, though, will never find that because we're just that Eeyore walking around. But then there are other people that whenever they're going through those times, they're a lot like Tigger. How you doing, brother? And it's almost like you walk up like, I heard about your week, man. How you doing? Man, I'm doing great. Let me tell you, God's been faithful, man. God's been good. I'm still saved. I'm on the way to heaven. I'd rather be in church than the best jail or hospital in this world. You know what I mean? I'll tell you what. I'm just excited to be here, you know? And so you get around people like that, and it emboldens you. It empowers you. It makes you want to keep on keeping on because enthusiasm breeds enthusiasm. How many of you guys are America's Got Talent fans? Anybody AGT fans? Spoiler alert, all right? I'm just going to say that out loud at first because if you have recorded the finale of the season, you might want to plug your ears because I'm going to tell you who won here in just a second, all right? So I'm giving you ample warning. Everybody got it? Good, all right? We watch America's Got Talent, or my family watches it. I catch it every now and then. I go to bed earlier than them sometimes, but every time, I think, without fail, watching America's Got Talent, my wife cries. Every time. And my children make fun of her. Every time. It's just something they do. How many of you guys, you cry watching America's Got Talent? You know why you cry when you watch America's Got Talent? Because there are people that shouldn't have joy, but they do. The guy that won it, anybody remember his name? Like, I already told him it was a spoiler alert. Anybody remember his name? Here's a picture of him. Anybody remember this guy? Cody Lee. He was born able to see, but he lost his eyesight, I think around a year old or so, and was diagnosed with autism, and he has to have his mom with him at all times because he doesn't really interact well with people. How many of you guys have no idea who this guy is, all right? Okay, there's a few of you. You got to look him up on YouTube. It's really cool. But whenever he talks, I'm not making fun of him, but he's not able to communicate very clearly. They ask him, how are you doing today? And he's unbelievable, you know, and his eyes get real big, unbelievable, but that's about the extent of his communication. He can't communicate very well, but when you put him behind a piano, he can belt it out. Not only playing the piano, but just sings right on pitch and everything's perfect. That's why he won the thing. His story is inspiring. The other guy that was on there is this guy. His name is, I think it's Niemiller. You may remember his name? Ryan. There, yeah, my wife knows. His name's Ryan, all right? You forgot his name. But Ryan Niemiller here, he's a comedian. And, of course, you can see he was born without full arms on either side. And he actually placed third in America's Got Talent. And it's interesting when you watch these guys because they're inspiring. Because their stories strengthen people. Both of them have gone through trying times physically, emotionally, and they very easily could have just wrapped it up. They could have dialed it in and said, you know what, we're done. They could have stayed home and wallowed in self-pity, and we wouldn't even know their names. But because they sought purpose in their pain, they've inspired a nation this summer. A lot of people have been encouraged. A lot of people have cried because they've seen people that these guys kind of act like Tigger. They weren't walking around like, I was born without my hands, or I was born autistic, or I had all these other issues. And just no, they had a purpose. And because of that, they were able to embolden others. I want to remind us this morning that we are surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ, that you have the potential to either encourage or discourage by the way that you respond your suffering. God has created us in such a way that our suffering has the power to embolden, inspire, and encourage others, not just to be happy, but to trust Jesus and to tell others about him. That's exactly what happened with Paul. He said, the reason I'm suffering is because God wants this to be used to further the gospel, and he wants it to be used to encourage the brethren, not just encourage them so they're on the sunny side, but to encourage them to speak the word without fear. To speak what God has for them so they can further the gospel as well. Paul's joy was not found in ideal circumstances. It was found in leading others to Jesus. And that's why he was able to experience joy. Whether it was introducing someone to Jesus Christ for salvation or just encouraging other believers to look to Jesus. Our circumstances have opened up new areas of ministry that we've never had before. I didn't tell my wife, and so I won't have her do it, but I've talked often about her and some of the things that have been going on in our lives, and things that have just been a little difficult. Of course, my wife has some chronic illness and some mental problems too, but we won't talk about that. But no, she has some chronic illness, and we've talked about that in the past. And of course, our daughter Emma, she's 16, she has epilepsy, as well as Andrew, our 12-year-old, and Gracie. She's pretty normal, I think. We'll see. But because of that, she's had some difficult days, and she's pretty open about talking about those things. And what has happened, and I don't know if we've realized it as much at the beginning as we realize it now, what has happened is it's almost as if, and I won't have her do this, but when we found out that two of our children have epilepsy and Misty had this chronic illness, it's almost as like God said, come on up here, and you stay there, all right? I won't embarrass you. But it's almost like, say, come on up here. I'm going to have you sit right up here so everybody can see you. How many of you guys think I should bring her up here so everybody can see her? You got two people that don't like you very much. But here's what suffering does. Suffering puts you up in front of everybody else so everybody can see you. And they're watching how you react. And they're watching how you talk. And they're watching where your faith is. And they're watching those things. And you have power. It's almost as if God not only puts you up in front of them, but it's almost as if God says, here, take this mic and go ahead and speak into these people. These people that you may not have been able to encounter before, but now you are, and you can speak life into them, you can speak hope into them, you can speak faith into them, or you can speak pity into them. You can speak pain into them. Speak a lack of hope into them. God has given us a microphone. And I know oftentimes I use our family as an illustration to do that, but the truth is that any one of you that said, I've had pain, I've had suffering, I could have any one of you come up here and stand as an illustration or sit as an illustration. And I hope that we'll recognize today the reason God allows us to come up here is because he wants this to be used, your pain to be used to speak to others about Jesus. Can I just get real personal with you for a second? When was the last time you talked to somebody about Jesus? I love church. And I'm thankful that God has given us a good church. And I love coming together and worshiping. I thoroughly enjoyed the worship service. I enjoyed practicing for the worship service on Wednesday and again this morning. I loved it. I love being around other believers and being excited about praising God and thinking about what God has done in our lives. But listen, there is a world around us that knows not our Savior. And it is not enough for us just to come in here and, you know, get a shot in the arm and hear the word of God and then even go home and just study it for ourselves. It's no good if we're not telling anyone else about it. When was the last time that we talked to someone else about Jesus? You said, well, I'm just not sure what to say. Tell them your story. If you've been saved, tell them how it happened. If you've been going through pain, give them the hope that God has given you in the midst of your pain. Your story may sound different than my story, but they have the same purpose. The same purpose is to tell others about the one that brings us hope for salvation and for life. Your pain does have purpose to further the gospel and strengthen other believers. These truths produce joy. The thing that the enemy may intend to use to bring you the most pain is something that God can use to recalibrate us, to bring us the most purpose. Let's pray together.
Thank you again for joining us for today's podcast. If you have any questions about today's message or would just like more information about Grace, you can email us at info@experiencegrace.church. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and to subscribe to our channel for more messages just like this one.